Okay, we're holding on Nun Beis on Beis, four lines up from the bottom. Rabbi Yonah Bonik Boy. Rabbi Yonah asked the following question: Yatzas Malugma. The Brisa said that we exclude Shvius making medicinal plaster. Sheinah La Kedusha Shvius. That's not what's supposed to. That's, it's not have. It does not have Shvius sanctity. Well. Plasters are only used by the sick people, and a plant that is only useful to a select group of people does not have Kedusha Shvius. That's basically what it says.
Is that a plant?
No, it excludes a purpose. And when I read this originally, I thought it meant that you couldn't use something which had Kedusha Shvius for Malugma, because being that Malugma was not a Davar Shava L'chol Adam, only for a particular group, so therefore you weren't using it for its proper purpose. But that's not correct, apparently. Because here we're saying that, let's see, it has to be a need that's come to all. So it's deemed a permitted use for edible Shvius produce, and it causes Shvius sanctity to take hold on an inedible plant designated for that use. But it, so, in other words, so what we said was inedible dyes had Kedusha Shvius, but that was because they were used universally. If you had something else inedible that was used for certain people, but not across the board, then it did not have Kedusha Shvius. Okay, Vahatani, the Brisa says, Don, Vitzad, Vizar, Satis, these are all types of seeds. These are inedible products that are soaked in oil to create fragrant perfumes.
I mean, when it grows, the plant itself doesn't have Kedusha until we determine what its purpose is. Is that what we're saying? The fact that it's growing in Shvius doesn't make it Shvius. It depends on how we use it.
Just hold on one second. I mean, I read this Brisa yesterday. I thought I understood it. Now I'm getting doubt about it now. I don't like that when I start having doubts. Mm-mm. Let's go back a page, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to 52b3. Okay. The Gemara started off. It said that there was Svoim in the Mishnah that said that Svoim had Kedusha Shvius. The Gemara asked, how do you know that? Nishminim and Hadal. We learned it out from the Pasuk of Lochem. It says, Shabbos Ha'aretz Lachem La'achla. So we said Lachem is Kol Shu Tzarech Lachem. But Tani Allah Achilo Shidav Sichu Tzviya Yatzis Melugma She'ena L'chulin. So I thought that it meant that you cannot use Shvius produce to make a medicinal plaster. That's what it says, which is useful only for the sick. Okay. So, it's not we're determining what it's a plant, what it's used for. We're saying you can't use something which has Kedusha Shvius for something which is only designated for sick people. That's what it means. It's not a plant which is designated for plaster. That's all it means. If you had such a thing, if there was such a bria like you're talking about, that was only, I can't think of something offhand, but I mean,
Only for
sick people. Can you think of a plant or that's only in castor oil? I mean, that was a classic thing. Only used for sick people, right? It must be something that's used on feet that's only for sick people. Can't think of anything. Epsom salts.
Castor
oil? How about Epsom salts?
Grows from the ground.
It has to be a plant. Okay. Is there such a thing as an Epsom plant? Okay.
No, Epsom salts.
Yeah. But he says it doesn't grow from the ground, so that's not a good example. Anyway, fine. Have we got that now? Are we good? Are we clear? Okay. So the Gemara says, the Brisa has said that you have these. I guess they're types of, maybe types of flowers or some kind of spice. Mm-hmm. They're soaked in oil to create perfumes. So these, yeah.
But that's not for everybody, I guess.
No, it's very rich people.
And that's the question. So that's the question of the Gemara. So the Gemara is asking a question. How come over here we see that we have these very, very expensive perfumes, which only are used by very rich people, and nonetheless they have Kedusha Shvi'a? So you see even a designated group of people, even though it's not for everybody. The Gemara answers on Nun Gimel Amud Aleph at the top. My Kedon, what kind of question is that? That's an easy question to answer. Lochem Hashave L'Kulchem means it's usable by everybody. Not everybody uses it because they can't afford it. So perfume is very expensive. I know I once bought a bottle, and that was the last time I did that. Mm-hmm. No, but it's very expensive. So only people who have a lot of money buy it regularly. So this is, I just want to make this is very clear. This is very different than Hilchos Yom Tov. For instance, Hilchos Yom Tov, there's a din lachem also, and it has to be a davar hashava l'kulchem. So, for instance, if something is only for rich people, and not if you have a minhag that's only done by rich people, such as putting a certain kind of a smell into clothing, right? What's it called?
Mugmar,
very good. Mugmar, which is only for rich people, did it. That's not mutar on yontif because it's lachem davar hashava l'chol nefesh. It's a different language. Davar hashava l'chol nefesh. It means that everybody uses this universally.
A cooking duck would be okay.
You know okay, yeah, okay. Cooking duck. Duck is just a type of food. The malacha is cooking. Cooking is shava l'chol nefesh. But over here, it's got to be used for everybody. Okay. So that's the end of that Gemara. That's an interesting Gemara. We have to keep this in mind, because this is going to come up later in the page, but we're going to keep in mind flowers. What's the rule with flowers? Does flowers have Kedusha Shvi'as or not? That'll be a question to keep in mind.
Flowers are not plants?
We're going to see. Well, let's see what happens. B'yayisim Shem Rav Law. He says like this, Shema Min Hadot. So before we had one pasuk which is lachem, and Rabbi Yossi is now going to suggest another pasuk to bring out the same halacha of dyes, and that is because it says tiya. The pasuk, the full pasuk,
number
five, is he only quotes part of it in the side of the Gemara. So that's why I'm going to go to number five, because he quotes the whole the pasuk before as well. Take a look. It says, that's one pasuk. The next pasuk says, now, tiya kol tfuas alechol. If you would just have erased all those words, and you would have just put the two psukim together, it would have said, for you and your servants and everybody, and to your animals as well. And that would have been fine. It would have the whole pasuk would have read just fine. So tia kol tfuas alechol is completely extra, and that's why he's teaching. That's why it's telling me a special drasha, which is af lahadlokas haner v'litzbo abatseva, that it's tia kol tfuas alechol, that there's a riboy, that it could be used for even other things such as lighting and for dyeing. Okay. The Gemara says, if you're going to use it, if you're going to use food, which could normally be eaten by a person, how could you use that? Aren't you destroying human food? So for some lower level, so that would be a problem. Lachol lahefsed. So the Gemara says, therefore you have to say tiftor b'tzvuin la'adam. So it's not talking about an edible food. We're talking about inedible food, which is used as a dye. So from the fact that you see the Torah is materit, if the Torah is materit, it must be that it has Kedusha Shvi'as. Because if it wouldn't have Kedusha Shvi'as, I wouldn't need a pasuk to be materit. The pasuk doesn't say you can burn wood. It doesn't need to say that because we know wood doesn't have any Kedusha Shvi'as. So that's part of what's going on here in the background here, right? Then the Gemara says, no, Amar Rabbanan, there's no raya from here. Again, we're trying to prove that something that's inedible has Kedusha Shvi'as. So he's saying it's no right. Why? Tiftor ba'echol behema la'adam. We could be talking about not human food. Human food would taka be also to take In other words, take a look at the madregas here. You have human food, you have animal food, and then you have dyes. So now to take human food and use it for a dye, that would be too big a urida from its primary function, which is as food. That would be a hefset. If you have animal food and you have a tzairach ha'adam, that's not really considered a urida. So that's why, maybe that's the drasha. So you can't prove from what you're saying that if something is completely inedible to both man and animal, then it would have any kedusha shvius. That's what the Gemara is trying to do over here. That's Ramana. You can't prove anything from here, therefore, about inedible dyes. Okay, Svan Levehema. Let's say, did he say anything about... Yeah, I have to keep my eyes on the lookout here. It's one of the footnotes here. I think it'll come later. Svan Levehema, 53a2. Svan Levehema, what about stuff which is dyes, which is designated for animals? So apparently if you had a very cheap dye, right, or a dye which wasn't so sharp, so you wouldn't use that dye on a clothing because it would be like a fading type of a color. Rather, you would use it, let's say, for an animal. So you want to make, from Rover, you want to make a little coat for him to take him for a little walk with Rover. And for that coat would, what's his name? What's your dog's name again?
Charlie.
Charlie gets a coat. So that type of a tzava, could you go ahead? Is there going to be any kedusha shvius on that? We know the sviya for the person. What about for an animal? In other words, we know that eichel adam has kedusha shvius and the tzava has kedusha shvius, and we know that eichel behema has kedusha shvius. Can we then extrapolate from that anything that wherever eichel has kedusha, the tzava in turn also has kedusha? That's the kasha. Nishmina min hadot, there's a famous shabraisa. It says ikra haverad, ikra ha'ega, ikra ha'oig. These are different types of roots of different types of roses, apparently. Sumac, ega, rose, whatever. Ein b'hem kedusha shvius, they don't have any shvius. They were used, these roots were used for a dye, and you see that it has no kedusha. Okay, another question. Mine kvisis, what about laundry detergent used to wash the laundry? Maoshi ha'alei kedusha shvius. Is the kedusha shvius for that? The Gemara says, nishmina manador, we see from here that yar onim, b'haboris, v'ha'ohol, different types of soaps. Yeshlam kedusha shvius, it does have kedusha shvius. Very interesting. Not what I would have expected. If you would have woken me up yesterday and said, does soap have any kedusha shvius? I look at you like you're crazy. What are you talking about? It's like people that give a heksher and say you need a heksher on laundry detergent. Are you out of your mind? No one eats it. And say it needs like kosher Pesach shampoo. Are you crazy?
So what
does it have to have kosher Pesach for?
Who, practically, can you use it?
What?
Can you use it then?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely you can use it.
And you can wear the clothes that smell.
Yeah, no problem. The issue is going to be, of course, do they have beer? Probably not. They probably don't have beer. These things are probably extant all year round. So there's no problem with beer. But you have to do it. You have to use it with Kedusha Shvius. You probably have to not allow to take it out of Eretz Yisrael. You have to not just throw it in the garbage. And ruin, you know, when you're pouring your measuring cup, make sure you don't spill any all over the floor like you usually do, right? Those of you who've ever done laundry before, I don't know if there's anybody in this room that actually knows what a laundry is. Yeah, you don't. I knew you would. Yeah, okay.
We have servants who do that.
Yeah, servants, yes. Yeah. So you have to train. You have to train your servants during the Shemitah year how to pour the laundry detergent. Okay.
So are we saying here that these are items that are food and that you can use?
Okay, hold on a second. Let's just take a look at footnote 21, because this sounds like something that I shouldn't have answered so quickly, right? As usual, I lost track. It should be noted that a braisa cited below on 8.5 and in Bavli Sukkah 40 above a comma cites a machlokes tanoim whether foods with shvius sanctity may be used for laundering. Rabbi Yosi allows it, but the Chachamim say it's not allowed. Now, that was not my case. This is a case of taking regular food. I was talking about something which is not a food item. Okay. Since the halacha presumably follows the majority, we learn it's prohibited to use shvi'as produce for laundering. So based on what we learned in the previous sugya, it would seem to follow that plants used specifically for laundering purposes have no shvi'as sanctity. This contradicts the Yerushalmi's conclusion here that it is subject to shvi'as sanctity. I'm not really getting what the riot was from the sugya before and what the contradiction here is. I don't know. Not sure. Okay. But as far as your question, can you use it? I was taught, when I said for sure you can, I was talking about not when it was a regular food that was edible. I was talking about these types of things. I don't believe Boris and Yarnin and aloe. Well, maybe aloe is. Is aloe edible?
No.
Aloe is edible?
It's
drinkable?
Like a lemon-scented
I'm sure.
Something.
I don't know. Okay. B'samim, mahu shehei alein tushishol. This is, we're not to be mayan into this. This is a question of halacha l'maisa. B'samim, mahu shehei alein tushishvias. What about fragrant spices that are inedible? Do they have shvias? Kedusha? Okay.
So these are inedible?
It says here it's inedible. Inedible. Let's see.
But they grow specifically for that purpose.
Yeah, and is the benefit of fragrance significant enough to bestow Shvi'ah sanctity upon a plant? That's
a
the way he learns it.
Make a brahma, right?
Yeah, that's so. What's the big deal with that?
So that makes it kosher.
Yeah. It says in the footnote over here in C, it says, since enjoying a fragrance is merely pleasurable but is not a genuine necessity to all people, perhaps this benefit does not bestow Shvi'ah sanctity upon a plant. Okay. Not sure. So the Gemara says, Meshmina ben Hadal, let's prove it from here. Perach lavan va'oiren, the white flower and the oren. These are types of flowers. Which are enjoyed for their fragrance. Ain alein k'dusha shvi'as, they do not have k'dusha shvi'as. I think this is where it's located over here. I think this is where we're talking about flowers. It's coming up. It's coming up. We're getting warmer. Okay, so that's 53a. Let's go to 54b. 53b. Chavraya Amrin. So now we have our favorite people, the Chavraya. These are the scholars. They say this brisa that we just said, that what? The Perach Lavan does not have Kedusha Shvi'as. That only comes out like Rav Shimon. Because he said, Ein L'Ktof Shvi'as from Nei She'en Opri. He said that balsam, or the way I heard my cousin's son say, the pshat in Ktof is, it's a sap that comes out of a tree or something. I don't know. Yeah. I didn't know. That's what balsam is, a sap? I didn't know that. So that does not have Shvi'ah sanctity because it's not the peri of the tree. But the Chachamim argue on Reb Shimon and they hold that it does have Kedusha Shvi'ah. So according to Reb Shimon, white flower and oren, they don't have Shvi'ah Kedusha because he's going L'shitasei, that balsam doesn't have Kedusha Shvi'as either. But the Chachamim, maybe it's possible that the white flower does have Shvi'as. So they're not saying one way or the other, they're saying that it's a basis for a question. Okay. That's what he says, second paragraph of number three. Although the rabbis ruled balsam has Shvi'as, it doesn't prove that, in their opinion, that fragrant plants have. Possibly, they consider balsam a fruit. Tree resin can be used to curdle cheese or to perfume oil, so maybe that's definite of a physical benefit. So we don't know whether the reasoning behind balsam. So therefore, we have a question. That's why we have this question. Okay. Now. Rav Shmuel b'shem Rav Avuhu tifto d'rakohi. He says he could come out like everybody. B'hadah nesurta. It's talking about not. When we were talking about those flowers, we weren't talking. I believe that's what it means over here, right? The flowers, the stem of the white flower and the orange plants. So that stem is not fragrant. So there, even the Chacham will be made to term Shimon that it is mutter. It has no kedusha shvius. So the intent he says here is that it's not significantly fragrant. So that mild fragrance that it has is not enough to give a kedusha shvius. Okay. Let's go a little further here. So this question remains unresolved. So number five, this unresolved question has ramifications. Here we go. I finally found it. This unresolved question has ramifications in regard to the halakhic status of many common flowers that provide no benefit other than their fragrance. And he cites a lot of marmakimus. If you have flowers which are purely decorative, it's clear they have no shriyas sanctity. So that's a good marmakim to know halacha l'maisa. So it's 53b1, footnote 5. That's where you're going to find the headquarters for flowers. Okay, because it's an abidal issue to the Gemara about spices. So, by extension, flowers which have fragrance are also going to be an abidal issue to. Mine adlukus ma'islach. What about plant species that are only used to produce oil for lighting? You're going to ha'on ha'on verit, the desert gourd, the calyx of the rose. So they used to, I guess, have you heard of rose oil?
Yeah.
So I guess rose oil is used to burn lamps and it has a pleasant fragrance, right? So Tony Baugh, Tlas Milan. So the question is, there's different ways to read this Gemara also. There are three. There's a question of whether Vahahon Vered is part of the previous statement, the way they have it here in the English, or whether it's part of the next statement. The Brisa, Tony Baugh, Tlas Milan, is going on Vahahon Vered only. All right, so it's a question of how to read this Gemara. So, all in Shalom, what about the petals? So, the petals of the rose, they have Shrias and the Mayan Shrias, right? Yeshlam beer and mayan beer. What about pika shalom? What about its seed-filled calyx? So then yeshlo shvius with the mer shvius, vein lo beer v'lo domer beer, because the seeds will survive the winter. So the petals won't survive the winter. They'll fall off the plant and they'll wither. So that's why they're not going to be around. So the chaff beer on them. But they both have kedusha shvius. Finally, ikar shalom, its root. So ain lo shvius, lo dama shvius. It doesn't have any shvius. So, like I told my Harusa, it seems to me that the rose is a representation of Eretz Yisrael itself. We had one part of the land has shvius and beer, another part has shvius no beer, another part has no shvius no beer. So that's all found in the rose. It's a facsimile of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, that's very poetic. Okay, next. What's the law as far as soaking the petals of the rose in oil? So that'll create a fragrant perfume, but of course, the petal was edible before you put it in the oil, and afterwards it will not be edible. So is that considered being mafs in something that was roy lachil? The more answers from Allah, because yeshlo malacha charis, is there anything else that you use it for? That's one of its main primary uses. And therefore, it's 100% mutter. But Tani Rabbi Chiya disagreed. Eichel Adam, who he said, no, it's a food. And as such, using it to soak in oil is prohibited. Higher Ibbana. So now the next list, this is a list of different types of roses. And some of them are mutter. Some of them are mutter. The reason they'll be mutter is because they're only going to be used for for perfume and not for oichal, and there are two at the end of the list that are going to be awesome because they apparently are considered an oichal. I don't know what any of these are. I'm just going to read them. Arust and Shri, Arust and Shri, Ketrat and Shri, Mersitton Shri, Darmnindun Shri, Idrominurin is Shri, and Asir and Diumurin is Asir. So whatever those are, that's what they are. It says here on the footnote, to make it a little bit more palatable, well, these varieties are cultivated for human consumption, so using them for perfuming is considered wasteful. So since Rav Mona teaches that some rose varieties are considered human food and some are not, so it comes out that there's no machlokas. Okay. See, pari... Let's see, it says that among animal foods that have shriya sanctity and are subject to beer are thorns and, how do you pronounce that? Thistles?
Yes.
Thistles?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, so the tzipori, so the tziporian asked Rab Imi, Mahu lohatein bahamatitin, what's the law with taking these thorns and thistles? And what they would do is they would lay them down on top of wheat, and the moisture from them would go and soften up the wheat. But after that would happen, they would no longer be roi to be used. Okay?
But the wheat?
No, the thistles.
What were you going to do with the thistles?
You're going to use them for my call of behema, I think.
Oh.
It says over here, thorns and thistles were used for moistening wheat. Are rendered inedible for animals once you do that. So the most question is it considered wasteful and inconsistent with their shvius sanctity? Although it's permitted to use animal foods for human needs such as therapeutic plasters and moistening wheat is a human need, the Gemara considers the possibility that moistening with animal fodder might constitute deviant use of the fodder, whereas making therapeutic plasters, however, is not a deviant use because it's common to use that. So that's the question. Is it considered deviant to use it for that purpose? On online, that's even what they're moistening wheat. So even these leaves of kursaya, which are a level up higher in the food chain than the thorns and the thistles. So if those are mutter, then surely the thorns and thistles are mutter. That's basically the Gemara answers the question. Yeah. And then the rule is corroborated, top line. Rabbi Yisho, Ovada, Usmoch Aloi, top of 54a, that in actual practice you can rely upon it, and that it is Mutter. All right. That was 53.
54a1.
Take care.